If you're a Hollywood movie fan, you might think that Mexican film is going through a golden age. 4 out of 5 of the most recent Best Director Oscars have gone to Mexican directors.
The Oscar goes to Alfonso Cuarón.
Alejandro G. Inarritu.
Alejandro G.
Guillermo del Toro.
And this year, Roma, Alfonso Cuarón's latest film shot in Mexico City, is tied for the most Academy Award nominations. Roma is groundbreaking in many ways. It is the rare foreign language film to be nominated for Best Picture. And Yalitza Aparicio, the star of the film, is the first indigenous Latina actress to be nominated in the Best Actress category. But Luis Reyes's latest book, Made in Mexico, Hollywood South of the Border, proves that Hollywood's relationship with Mexico goes way further back than these 5 years. In fact, it goes all the way back to the Mexican Revolution. From NPR and Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Antonia Cerejido, in for María Hinojosa. Today, Made in Mexico, a look into the long and surprising history of Hollywood south of the border. To learn more about that history, I spoke to author Luis Reyes. When did you become a film scholar?
When I was a kid growing up in New York, I used to go to all the movies all the time, and I used to collect movie photos and movie posters.
Luis Reyes was a Puerto Rican kid who grew up in New York City.
110th Street and Broadway, between Broadway and Amsterdam, right down the street from Columbia University.
But as soon as he was old enough, he went out west. Once in California, he became a publicist in Hollywood. And since Luis spoke Spanish, movie studios started to court him to help bring in the growing Latinx audience. And what was, like, the first Latino film you worked on?
Well, you know, it's... Actually, it was Zoot Suit.
The press has distorted the very meaning of the word Zoot Suit. All it is for you guys is another way to say Mexican without insulting your allies south of the border.
Really? You worked on Zoot Suit?
With Edward James Olmos, correct. And we became lifelong friends. We're still friends, yeah. And I did Stand and Deliver.
Tough guys don't do math. Tough guys deep fried chicken for a living. Sorale, you want a wing or a leg, man?
Because again, we were pushing the U.S. Latino market, which at that time was really, it totally ignored.
The more time Luis spent working on Hollywood movies, the more time he spent in Mexico. He stayed in Durango while he was the publicist for the 2006 film Bandidas, starring Salma Hayek and Penelope Cruz.
But the money stays. All of it.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't!
The film was shot in Durango, Mexico. While he was down there, he started to hear stories about other Hollywood films that were also filmed in Mexico.
What impressed me more than anything else is the exchange of talent and the number of films that were shot there.
Now, more than a decade later, Reyes has written a book about Hollywood in Mexico.
I had to go dig for this information because no one had ever documented any of this.
I sat down with Luis to talk about his book, Made in Mexico, Hollywood South of the Border. U.S. production has happened in Mexico since the Mexican Revolution. I mean, that part of the book totally shocked me. I did not know any of that history.
Oh, correct. I mean, it all kind of all came together at the same time. At the time, Pancho Villa was the most famous Mexican on the scene because of his exploits. And for a bandit turned revolutionary hero, he had an uncanny sense of the camera. I mean, one of the reasons his name lives on to today is because there are thousands of photographs of Pancho Villa, and he was in all the media, I mean, of the time. I mean, newspapers, he photographed himself with everybody.
In your book, you say that the first Hollywood production in Mexico was actually this deal that was between D.W. Griffith, who is the director of the infamous and racist 1915 film, The Birth of a Nation, that depicts the KKK as American heroes, that the first deal was between him and Pancho Villa, the Mexican revolutionary.
D.W. Griffith wanted to make a movie about Pancho Villa and his exploits. And he made a deal with Pancho Villa because Pancho Villa needed money at the time. It was $5,000 in advance in gold to allow film companies to come down and film his battles. But the only problem was that those cameras in those days were bulky. They were made out of wood, and you had to hand crank them. So any cameraman who actually tried to film a battle was an easy target and probably wound up getting killed. Okay?
Oh, my God, yeah. Okay.
So Raoul Walsh, who was a pioneering film director in his own right, he talked Pancho Villa into staging some of the battles for the cameras. When they got back to Hollywood, it wasn't enough to do a story around of. So what Raoul Walsh did, who was a trained actor as well, he played the young Pancho Villa, and they kind of did some scenes here in the San Fernando Valley in a ranch, and they kind of dramatized a few things, and then they put all that footage together, and they released it as The Life of General Villa. And it was a big hit in its time, but it's a lost film now. There's nothing left of it. There's a few fragments left that have been found, but the whole film as a whole is lost.
During World War II, Mexican cinema became a rival of Hollywood with production companies like Churubusco. And I didn't even know that in Times Square here in New York, they opened cinema specifically showing Mexican movies. That really surprised me. I didn't know that.
Yes, correct. I mean, Mexican movies, you know, mostly the films of Emilio Fernandez.
Juana, ayúdame. No me dejes solo, Juana.
He's also got his semi-start here in Hollywood as an extra, working in movies and learning about American motion pictures and how to do motion pictures. It's a legend now, but it's probably pretty true that he even, in order to make money while he was here, he posed for Dolores Del Rio's husband, who was art director at MGM. He was asked to design the Oscar, the Academy Award, and he needed a nude model for his idea of what Oscar should look like. And Dolores Del Rio suggested Emilio Fernandez, who at that time had a fantastic physique and was a very good-looking man. Mm-hmm. And he went. At first, he kind of balked me. Nude, I don't know, Dolores, you know. But she said, hey, they're going to pay you. He said, okay, why not? And he did it. So maybe the Oscar should be called the Emilio. I don't know.
Well, I mean, honestly, Mexico has been dominating the Oscars so much that it might as well be.
Exactly, for the past 5 years.
Let's talk about some of the films that you highlight in the book. One of the directors who you mentioned who has spent a lot of time filming in Mexico is John Huston. So how did he use Mexico in his movies?
John Huston was one of the first directors to actually film in Mexico.
It's yellow, too, like gold.
Come back! We found something!
So in The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, with Humphrey Bogart, which was an Oscar-winning film, he took his crew all the way to Mexico to film in the rugged Sierra Nevada mountains of Mexico and also in the jungles. And he used Mexico kind of in a very gritty story of greed, okay, and looking for gold. And yes, there are some stereotypes in the bandidos, but one of those bandidos became very famous, the actor by the name of Alfonso Bedoya, with the famous line, badges? We don't need no stinking badges.
If you're the police, where are your badges?
Badges? We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Yeah.
He became so famous from those lines in that movie that he continued a career in American movies, mostly Westerns, for the rest of his life. John Huston, he's most known now for the filming of The Night of the Iguana in 1963, which was based on a Tennessee Williams novel.
I was just hanging on till I could get here to the hammock on the veranda over the rainforest and the Stillwater Beach. That's all that can pull me through.
And it was shot in the small fishing village of Puerto Vallarta at that time. Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor had become lovers, and Richard Burton was starring in Night of the Iguana, but they were both married to other people. So they went to film this movie with John Huston, and all the paparazzi from all over the world came to photograph them and write stories from Puerto Vallarta. And it led to Puerto Vallarta becoming a world-class resort city that it is today.
Coming up on Latino USA, we learn more about the Hollywood films made in Mexico, including the movie Titanic. Stay with us. No te vayas.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Babbel. Have you always wanted to speak a new language? Whether it's for travel, work, or brain training, Babbel's 10 to 15 minute lessons will get you speaking confidently in your new language. Choose from Spanish, French, and more. You'll learn through real-life dialogues, speech recognition, and interactive trainers. And Babbel's spaced repetition method actually makes you remember what you've learned. Download the app or go to Babbel, Babbel.com, to try Babbel for free.
When Colin Kaepernick stopped standing for the national anthem at NFL games, it sparked a nationwide debate about patriotism and police brutality.
In the next Throughline, we explore three stories of protest that are rarely told, but essential to understanding the current debate.
Throughline, the podcast where we go back in time
to understand the present.
We're back, and we continue our conversation with author of Made in Mexico, Hollywood South of the Border, Luis Reyes. You talk about this in the book. Mexico is incredibly geographically diverse. So you have, you know, in the south, you have jungles. I think Tarzan was filmed in Acapulco.
Correct.
I ran away from Baloo.
Tarzan Jane helped Mara.
If you help me, you'll be in danger too.
And then in the north, you have these like desert dry areas that have been used for westerns.
They were used for westerns like Hondo with John Wayne that was shot in Carmarco.
Get ready for John Wayne, the legend.
And then you had Durango, which is a little bit further north. It's high desert. And over, about 100 movies, both American and Mexican, were shot in Durango, and it became famous because of John Wayne.
How long you planning to stay?
Well, I don't know. I just got here. People usually let you take your hat off before they ask you to leave, Billy.
I think the movie that people would probably be most surprised was shot in Mexico is, or at least they didn't know, is Titanic.
Correct. Titanic was shot in Rosarito, Baja California.
Every night in my dreams, I see you, I feel you.
In a studio there that was built from the ground up specifically for the movie. And all those people on the ship, except for the principal cast, are Mexicanos. They got the most European, whitest-looking Mexicans they could find for the upper-class decks of the motion picture.
And over here we have Sir Cosmo and Lucille Lady Duff Gordon. She designs naughty lingerie, among her many talents. Very popular with
on the Titanic. And then when Leonardo and Rose go down to the steerage and they're with the immigrants.
So you want to go to a real party?
They got the darkest Mexicans to portray the Greek, Italian, and Polish immigrants that were coming to America at that time. And Mexican technicians, Mexican artists and craftsmen, and Mexican assistant directors were invaluable to James Cameron in order to make that motion picture.
I had no idea that Titanic was filmed in Baja.
Yes, it was filmed right on the beach. They built two huge water tanks right by the beach so that when you point the camera in the direction of the horizon, it looks like you're in the middle of the ocean, but you're actually in the tanks, because it's very difficult to film in a real ocean because of the tides and the movement and the weather and everything else. But in the tanks, you can control everything. Hey, Leonardo DiCaprio, he starred in Titanic, which was shot in Mexico.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's the movie that made him a big superstar.
Yeah.
Well, 20 years later, a Mexican director, Iñárritu, got him an Oscar for The Revenant as Best Actor.
Who would Leonardo DiCaprio be without Mexico?
Yeah, exactly. You got it, girl.
Okay, so next on the list is Spectre, the James Bond movie, which came out in 2015.
Oh, Spectre is an example of art imitating life or life imitating art. Spectre is the James Bond movie starring Daniel Craig, and the opening sequence of the film takes place in Mexico City during a huge Mardi Gras-like parade for the Day of the Dead. Now, if you know anything about Mexico, you know that mostly Day of the Dead is celebrated in homes where people make altars, where people remember their friends or relatives who have passed on, or in cemeteries or in Campos Santos, as they call them. But for the movie, they did this fantastic parade. So what happened was that tourists started coming to Mexico City and they wanted to see that parade.
Mm-hmm.
So Mexico City now has a huge Day of the Dead parade.
When you were doing the research for Made in Mexico, what most surprised you?
The exchange of talent and the number of films that were shot there, because you can find plenty of books on Latin American cinema. You can find plenty of books on Mexican cinema, but mine is the first book that documents Hollywood films made in Mexico and also the influences of the filmmakers on each other. I mean, we're talking about Guillermo del Toro, who last year won the Oscar, okay, for Shape of Water. He was inspired by The Creature from the Black Lagoon, the movie that he saw.
Daddy!
Well, The Creature from the Black Lagoon has its origins in a dinner conversation that the Mexican cinematographer Gabriel Figueroa had with Dolores del Rio and Orson Welles, where he talked about this folkloric tale about a half man, half fish that the natives sacrificed a virgin to every year in order to keep him satisfied and to keep the crops and everything at a good standstill. That story developed into the movie called The Creature from the Black Lagoon that inspired the Guillermo del Toro movie, The Shape of Water.
It does feel like a lot of the American movies paint Mexico as this land of both desire and fantasy. The Westerns can be really violent, and then the beach are always like filled with romance. I mean, what do you think about that way in which Mexico has been depicted through film?
Most of these movies are made from the gringo point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So very few of these 180 movies deal with Mexico itself from the Mexican point of view. It's always about gringos or foreigners or Europeans going to Mexico.
Do you think Roma is a sign of that relationship changing between Hollywood and Mexico?
Yes. It's a Spanish language film financed by Netflix with unknown cast. But it really continues that legacy of films being shot in Mexico by American or Hollywood companies.
Thank you, Luis, so much. I really appreciate you talking to me, and I absolutely love the book, and I'm really excited to share this with Latino USA listeners.
Seguro que sí.
Luis Reyes is the author of Made in Mexico, Hollywood South of the Border, which is out in bookstores now. This month, Netflix announced that after the success of Roma and its show Narcos, they plan to produce 50 new projects in Mexico, making the country Netflix's top international territory.
This episode was produced by me, Antonia Cereijido, and edited by Sofia Paliza Carr. The Latino USA team includes Marlon Bishop, Miguel Macias, Maggie Freeling, Janice Yamoka, and Sayer Quevedo, with help from Maya Cueva and additional editing by Allison McAdam. Our engineers are Stephanie Lebeau and Julia Caruso. Our production manager is Natalia Fidelholtz. Our interns are Caroline Aguirre and Lucas Southard. Our theme music was composed by Senia Rubinos. If you liked the music you heard on this episode, stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. Oh, and one more thing. We love hearing from our listeners. Please, please, please go to your favorite podcast app and rate and review Latino USA. The comments you write keep us motivated and help other listeners find our work. Our executive producer is Maria Hinojosa. Join us again next time. And in the meantime, you can find us on social media. Adios.
Latino USA is made possible in part by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. The Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide. And Winecoat Foundation.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
And next time on Latino USA, with the Academy Awards ceremony around the corner, we gather a group of Latinx critics to talk about what their role should be as Hollywood evolves and what movies you should watch. That's next time on Latino USA.